All right, get your Bibles out. Philippians, where we're going to be at. But just before the message, Mrs. Payne's going to sing for us. To that time where you got saved. I'll tell you what, that song reminds me of February 26th of 2006, the day that I got saved, that's for sure. And Tom, am I on up there? All right, very good. There it is. I just lost the clip, but that's all right. I'll put it in the pocket. Well, it's good to be here tonight, that is for sure. I sure am good to be in God's house, no doubt. Philippians chapter 4 is where we're going to be reading from. Brother Gellis, it's good to see you. And probably if you fall asleep, I won't blame you. Got in last night from Africa, and so I know what a little bit of that feeling of jet lag is like. And so it's good to see you in the church house tonight. If he's sleeping, just let him go, all right? The rest of you, well, you don't have an excuse. But Philippians chapter 4 tonight. And I first of all want to say I appreciate the opportunity to preach. It's always an honor to preach behind this pulpit and for the man of God that we have as our pastor, and I look forward to every time he's here, and every time I get the opportunity, it is a joy as well to be able to bring a message and a thought to each of us tonight. And really, every time, honestly, every time I get up to preach, it's something that's convicting to me. It's something that I am struggling with as a Christian, and that's what I bring to the pulpit when I come to preach, because it's something I need. And so tonight, if you'll just bear with me, I'm preaching to me and you get to listen. So that's what it is for this evening. Philippians chapter 4, if you'll do this, if you'll stand just real quick, and we'll read one verse, a familiar passage of Scripture there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8, and it says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise. And the last part is what we're going to be preaching about tonight is think on these things. Think on these things. So let's pray. We'll let you be seated. Father, again, we come and we want to say thank you for the week you provided. You've given us the health and the breath and the life. And Lord, you're deserving, you're worthy of all that praise that was just sung about. Lord, you're merciful to us. We do not deserve that. We're thankful for it. We're thankful for salvation. I do pray that you be with our service. Help us tonight. Get me out of the way. And I pray, Holy Spirit, your reign, your rule would be upon our service tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I remember as a kid, teenager, and unfortunately sometimes as an adult, these words have been said to me, and this is the title of my message tonight, What Were You Thinking? I didn't say my title on purpose at the beginning because I know I don't think most of you would have made it through my prayer if that's how I said it. What were you thinking? I don't know if those words have ever been said to you before, but they sure have to me in my life. Man, what were you thinking? I remember a specific illustration that is ringing clear in my mind. When I was younger, my brother and I had the task, an older brother, 2.5 years older than I am, and we had the task of mowing the churchyard. And if you can picture in your mind where the playground is, and from the playground, how that L shape is all the way to the road, over the berm, all the way to the road, that's about the piece of property that we were mowing. And so, of course, we took turns, however I feel slighted a little bit because he was older, of riding on the riding lawnmower, and then the other guy got to do the trimming and weed eating. And the other guy, meaning me, the younger guy. And I remember one time specifically that we were mowing. And again, I called my brother, I called my dad to try to get the details so that I don't mess up the story. So the story is what they gave me and what I could remember both together. This is what it was. But we ran out of gas. And, you know, as teenagers, young teenagers at that, we go to the shed and we look for what's available. Where is the gas cans? Let's fill the gas cans up. Or the mower up with gas. And so, again, I don't know who it was. My dad couldn't remember either. My brother was sure not going to say if it was him, that's for sure. And I just don't remember, honestly. Don't remember at all. But one of us grabbed the diesel can instead of the gas can, and we filled that mower up with diesel fuel instead of gasoline. And so, of course, after a while, some mowing went on, and the mower started acting up. The mower would no longer work. And then my dad comes out and says, what? Says those words. What's going on, and what were you guys thinking? Somebody evidently had put a gasoline can that had diesel fuel rather than having gasoline in the church. We still don't know who it was. My dad, I asked him, I said, who was it? He said, I don't know. But I know this. For the next probably 2 months, maybe even 3 months, my brother and I were tasked with, if you can imagine, picture out here that L shape that we have, push mowing for the next long time, that I remember anyway, push mowing the entire church lawn. We were there. And again, you go back to that phrase, that question, what were you thinking? And I don't know, there are probably instances in your life with your parents or even with kids. I know with mine I have before. What were you thinking? There's probably stories I know. I was thinking about one in John chapter 18, actually two stories about one guy, Peter that is, that I think maybe even on his tombstone it might have even said, what were you thinking? As he reached it with his sword and cut off the ear of Malchus, or when he denied Jesus, that same chapter, he denied him 3 times. I think maybe the Lord thought to himself, Peter, what were you thinking? What is going through your mind? And so I tell you that story to look at the passage tonight as Paul is telling the Philippian people. He mentions several things about whatsoever things. And then he ends it there talking about think on these things. Paul exhorts them to think. That's the last part of it. He says to think. Another word for think is to meditate. To meditate. In fact, meditate means to engage in thought or contemplation, reflect. It also means to consider as something to be done or effected, intend, purpose. That's what the word meditate. And you know, recently I was, during this time that our Sunday school classes have been combined and the kids have been in the junior church, I've been going to Brother Ryan's Sunday school class. And that week, I've only been there a couple of times. I don't remember to see Ryan tonight, but a couple of times I've been out of town. But one of the Sundays he was out of town, and Brother Jack McDonald was preaching that Sunday, or speaking Sunday school, and he brought a lesson, and really it was all about meditation. Meditation. And boy, some of the thoughts that you said that day have just resonated with me. And I'm going to mention some of them tonight that he talked about. And again, it's just a burden that has been on my heart since that Sunday morning that I've just been thinking. It's changed the way I think about reading my Bible. It's changed so many things because of just some statements that were made about how we meditate. How we meditate. And we're going to look at tonight. I'd like to point out some areas of concern and areas of help even when it comes to thinking or meditating on God's plan for us and what God has in store for each and every one of us. I realize in a crowd this size, we're missing a lot of teenagers and we have a range of ages. But if you'll bear with me tonight, there's some things I think will help each one of us in the area of thinking, meditating about different areas of our life. And so, first of all, if you turn over to Psalms chapter 104, Psalms 104 is kind of a springboard there in Philippians, but Psalms chapter 104 and verse 34, Psalm 104 and verse 34. And it says this, "My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord." Also, Psalm chapter 119, just a few to your right there, a few pages over to your right, Psalm 119, verse 97. 119:97, it says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." The first thing I want to point out is, think about your preparation. I read those verses and it talked, both of them mentioned the word meditation in there, but think about your preparation. You say, where are you going with this? Well, bear with me for a second. How about your approach to coming to church? Your preparation, your meditation when you approach church. How do you come to church? I believe that oftentimes we are so preoccupied with stuff that we aren't prepared till halfway, maybe even towards the end of the service, to receive something from the man of God who got the message from God's Word. Because we're so preoccupied, we haven't prepared ourselves for the service. We haven't thought about, and I'm going to mention some things, and yeah, they're not going to be ones we're going to be just willing to receive, but it's the truth. That's something that, again, I told you at the beginning, I struggle with. Here's the first one. Underneath preparation, it's our mind. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 says, we'll have you turn there, but it says this, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." I read that verse and I don't know, I've read it before, but it just hit me. In the end, with one mind. We are a body of believers. We should have a Christ-like spirit, should we not? Yeah, we should. So our mind should be more Christ-like then. Our mind. So, Brother Luke, I was, again, going back, listening or thinking about some things. Brother Luke mentioned last week in his message on the foolishness of preaching, how that we get a preconceived idea about a certain speaker or the style or the delivery, and then we just tune them out. We just completely get lost and I'm not listening. And he gave a great illustration about it last Wednesday night. And I think sometimes, and I'm guilty of it, I come to church service already thinking, yeah, this is probably in mind for somebody else. Yeah, this is probably going to be somebody else's sermon and not mine. I'm simply pointing out the fact that we have to have our mind engaged when it comes to coming to the church house. All those other things that are peripheral, all the other things on the outside, put those aside. And be ready, be prepared when it comes to the church service, to God's house. You know, I think that's the devil's doing. I believe we allow the devil sometimes to let our minds run so wild. And listen, it doesn't have to be things that are deep sin. If the devil can get our minds to be thinking about other things rather than the Holy Spirit working through a message to speak to us, then the devil wins. He wins. He's lost us. He's lost us. And just think about this. If we go through three messages in one Sunday, we don't get anything till Wednesday night. We don't get anything back till, or maybe the next Sunday. We've lost a whole entire week because our mind hasn't been engaged in the service. And I'm simply saying tonight, are we thinking with one mind? I'll read it again, that verse. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Hey, how's our speech throughout the week? Is our mind, is our meditation about the Lord? That whether I come and see you or else be absent, he said, does it matter if I'm there or not? Have you heard that? Or have you said that to your kids? I don't have to be near you or by you for you just to obey. Just obey. Just do what you're supposed to do. I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Isn't that what we're doing? Isn't that the purpose, that we want to see more folks saved? Then let's get our minds prepared and ready for the week that's at hand. When we come to a church service, think about, what is this man, the man of God, going to give us today? I'm looking forward to it. Well, I thought, I don't know about you, but Sunday morning, just the song service and the preparation before the service was just, oh, it was awesome. It was great. Just the songs, they fit together. And I don't know if you think about that, but I do. That's part of our mind getting engaged in the service and serving and giving back to Him. That's what we're supposed to do. So, again, think about, contemplate. Are we coming to a place of meditation before service? We simply don't think or meditate on the messages. You see, James chapter 4, verse 8 tells us to draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You know, you can't take 4 hours on Sunday night of worldly movies and entertainment and expect to be fed for just a few hours on Sunday. It's not going to happen. We're not going to see the results that we're hoping to see. At least I'm coming that way. I hope we are coming that way with that one mind, one spirit. James 1:8 says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So how can we spend 3-4 days, our minds being engaged on other things, and then come and hear a service or Sunday morning for 45 minutes and a service sermon for 45 minutes and expect to get anything out of it? I'm just trying to get you to think, because this is where I was at. This is when I'm listening to this Sunday school lesson, I thought, man, spot on. This is exactly what I need. This is exactly what I need. You know, so that's our mind. Here's another one. I've got to keep moving on. Our bodies. Where are you going with this one, Brother Mike? Where is this at? Well, how can you relay this to meditating a message? Turn to Romans chapter 8. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Flip to a couple of passages of Scripture. If you brought your Bible to church, Romans chapter 8, verse number 11, and it says this, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Hey, if Christ is living in us, that means He's in all of us. He's in our bodies. He is part of us. Romans chapter 12, a very famous passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service? I'd say so. He saved us, didn't He? He gave us a home in heaven, didn't He? So it's just reasonable to get our hearts and our minds ready for what God has for us on Sunday. For the preaching, as Brother Luke talked about last Wednesday night, for us to hear a message. But sometimes our minds aren't engaged, our bodies, because we've stayed up till all hours of the night. Maybe thinking, and sometimes it doesn't have to be frivolous things. It can be fretting. It can be worrying. Instead of preparing and thinking about, what does God have for me tomorrow? I am excited about the message. I wonder what preacher's thinking about for us. I wonder what he's getting ready to preach to me tomorrow. Folks, I'm just getting you to try to think. Think about our bodies. But keep moving on. You know, what about this one? What about when we're scrolling through and looking at, you know, Instagram, Facebook, and all those other things? We're more worried about someone liking our post or missing somebody else's post than we are about what Sunday has to offer. Hey, I'm just telling you, this is right where we're at. I know. This is where I'm at. We're so preoccupied sometimes that we're going to miss out. And that's what got me in the Sunday school lesson. We're going to miss out because we don't meditate. We don't think about. We don't take the time to think about. I'm going to talk about some other in just a minute. But another area, I already kind of mentioned it, but our speech. We talked about our mind, our bodies, but also our speech. Psalm chapter 19, verse 14, won't turn there, but let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Hey, is our speech acceptable? Did you just have a knockdown, drag out verbal argument with the wife the night before and then, morning, great to see you. How you doing? Or did you resolve the issue? I don't remember who said it, but I know a preacher said, don't go to bed angry. Our speech, our conversation, it should be throughout the week what it is on Sunday. It should be the same attitudes, the same message, the same, again, our mind, or it should be that of the same thing no matter where we're at. Does it change? Well, it shouldn't. Our speech, maybe it's towards our kids, maybe it's conversation that we have. You know, we get so occupied in everything else. And again, I'm guilty of it. We get so occupied in what we're, and the kid's trying to tell us something, and whatever. And folks, we're missing those times with even just our kids because we're so preoccupied. We're not meditating. We're not thinking about it. That's all I'm trying to get you to realize tonight. The second point, I got to keep moving on. The second thing is, it leads me to the second point, our personal walk. Our personal walk. Joshua 1, verse 8. Keep moving on. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein. Just on church days? Nope. Therein day and night. Day and night. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Because if we do all those things, if we meditate, if we think about, then He promises something. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. I feel sometimes in my own personal life that I don't have successes because I'm not spending that personal walk like I should. And I'm not meditating on God's Word like I should. Oh, I read it. Oh, I have a prayer time. But I'm not meditating on it. Let me give you the two thoughts that he pointed out. And boy, the second one really is the one that really got me. But in class, he said this, so provoking, so thought provoking. He said, we don't meditate because we don't stop and take the time to do so. We don't think about what we read when we have our personal walk with Him because we're so busy with other things. I got to get to this, or this is on my plate today. I've got to make sure this gets done. And we skip over that meditation. We skip over that, what God is giving us for that day. He is giving us something that is going to be helpful for us the rest of the day. We're going to get worldliness, in some cases, the whole rest of the day. And we have such a short time of that day that's spent with Him. My question to you and to myself as well is, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? Meditate. It's so true. We get a text or we get a phone call or we get something's going on. It sucks our time. It takes away from that time. You know, a preacher talks about it often. Have a time and a place, and he's exactly right. We should. We should have that time and that place. And when you're having that time and your place, also think about, what am I getting from it? What is God telling me from this? And think about it. Dwell on it. Chew on it for the rest of the day. It reminds me of so many times we hear about, you know, farmers, and they talk about those cattle and chewing the cud. And they're just chewing on that thought. For them, it's not thought. But that's for us. Chewing on that all day long. We should be. But here's the one that really got me. We don't meditate because we're afraid that it might reveal something in our lives that we need to change. Whoa. Yow. Let me read it one more time in case you missed it. We don't meditate because we are afraid that it might reveal something in our lives that we need to change. Let's be honest. How often do we stop and just think about what we got from our Bible reading? Oh, I'm probably like you. I write some things down. But how often do we just meditate on it? We just go over it in our mind. We just spend the extra minute and just a few minutes and say, it doesn't matter. That can wait. It's not as important. Just, Lord, you're speaking to me right now. Just giving me something good right now. And then you begin, this is how it is for me anyway, then you see one thing, I don't know how your Bible is laid out, but you know, I have little numbers that, or little letters, I'm sorry, that go to certain passages and other passages of Scripture, and then I get going on. And I'm not saying that we take away from our whole Bible time and not read it, but when's the last time that's happened to you? We just, you spend your whole Bible time looking at other passages of Scripture on one thought. Because we're not meditating. And we're not meditating because we're afraid that it might change something in our lives. It might do something to make a difference. How about this? How about the next time it happens, or when maybe the last time it is that you read your Bible, how about saying, Father, I'm approaching my Bible time, and I want you to reveal an area that I need changing. I need your help. I need you. How about this one? When's the last time you meditated on someone else's need? We read through the prayer list. I do the same, but you know, I see some of the names. I don't know them, but I know they mean something to you folks here. When's the last time we just breakfast, lunch, dinner? We just meditated on it. Just thought about it. Will I be with this person today? Yeah, maybe a physical problem, a surgery that's coming up, but what about that uncle? What about that cousin that's not saved? Someone mentions it from here and, yeah, pray for that person. Pray for this person. What about just going and meditating on, well, this person needs you. They need to be saved. Or this person has they have something coming up that is just, it could be life-changing. This individual has a job situation that, well, they need to hear from you, Lord. Every time we come to that prayer time, we just meditate. We think about that other person. Hey, it's convicting. It's been convicting to me ever since that question was said. I sure haven't been the same since. And, you know, keep moving on for time's sake here. Our past. Number three, our past. Meditation. Meditating on past sermons. Brother Luke mentioned messages that we've heard recently that have challenged our hearts. I'll never hear a message about an eagle the same, that's for sure. I'll never hear a message about soul winning, as we heard from Brother Netterville. I mentioned Brother Luke, I'll never hear fasting again because Justin Leisure preached a message about that. There are certain messages that I just, boy, in my mind, I think, why did I pay more attention? Could it have been that my mind wasn't engaged that day? Could it have been that I was allowing other distractions to preoccupy what God had for me that day and that message? How come somebody else got something and I didn't? Boy, it happens here quite often. We hear some great preaching. We heard one Sunday morning from our pastor being a witness. We heard one that was challenging. Still got something about a backsliding or backslidden heart on Sunday night. And then we come to a Wednesday night. It's Brother Bragg's turn. When's the last time you just meditated on some of the sermons you heard? When's that last time? Brought something with me. I have a whole stack. This isn't even scratching the surface, but I have a whole stack of notebooks, pieces of paper, of different sermons that I've written down or sitting here at the pulpit or right over here, just written down from our pastor. But when's the last time we took some notes that we... You know, it's a good thing to take notes. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But when's the last time we went back and looked at them? Hey, how about this one? Got a whole stack of Living Life Wisely. When's the last time you flipped through those? Hey, listen, it's in here. We have a pastor that gave it to us. We just don't ever go back and look at it. And I'm preaching to me here. We just don't. How about the series you preach on what's wrong with it? How about that one? I have all the notes. But until today, I really didn't go back and look at all of them. Didn't take the time. Because I heard. I was in the message. I'm simply saying there, I know there's things in there that God has for us that we need and that can help us, but we just don't take the time. We'll take time to meditate on it, to think about it, to mull over it. We get done with a message we hear preached and it's right here after the service. Hey, what are you doing this week? Oh, I'm going here. When's the last time I ever said, man, that message was... I enjoyed this point. I enjoyed this comment. I enjoyed this. That was so thought-provoking. Spiritual gifts. You gave a handout about that. Head coverings. Productive fasting. The proper treatment of men in ministry. On and on I could go. I mean, filled. I have him back from college, Brother Gomez. Message after message after message that's preached, and we do little to go back and meditate on them. There's some messages that they have those answers. I said that. To a certain situation we're going through. Rather than fretting and worrying about them, instead pick up a message and read it. Pick up a message you had in a drawer that's just sitting there and read it again. Guarantee if it came from the man of God, you'll get something from that again. I know I did today. I just looking through those, I got a thought and just pondering over. We just don't do enough meditation. We don't go back and think, when's the last time you heard a message on meditation? On prayer, on thinking. They work hand in hand. They work together. Our meditation, where are we at? I wind it down in closing. Left me with this thought. I think sometimes God looks down and says, Mike, what were you thinking? Were you even thinking? Because I'm so preoccupied, so busy with thinking of other things that I don't take the time to meditate on what God has given us. We come to church and it's just another service. We come to a Sunday school class and they're going to say this and I'm ready for them to say this and they're going to point out this and all right, let's just get on with it. When's dinner coming? We just move on too quick. We don't spend the time to meditate on what God has given us. Because He's given us a lot. He's given us so many things. Got good health? Have you meditated? When's the last time you thought about how good God is that gave you good health? He's done some powerful things in your life. When's the last time you just meditated and said, God, thank you for the job I have. Thank you for the car I have. Thank you for the things you've given me. We just don't think. And tonight, all it is just to help us, help me, help you, hopefully, to just take some time to meditate. I think He looks down from heaven and He does. I think He says, "He's, what were you thinking? I gave you a message. I gave you your time in My Word. And you never thought to meditate for the solution to that answer. You've got it. It's right there in front of you. But you never meditated on it." I really think He throws His hands up and says, "What were you thinking?" So Christian, when's the last time you cleared and cleansed your mind before church service, before you got ready to approach a time of quiet time with Him, a personal walk with Him, just said, "Lord, point out to me specifically an area of my life I need changing." And let the Word of God just cleanse you, purify us. You know, I want to read my Bible in a better light. You know, Jack, it's changed the way I've thought about things. I want to read Your Word so that it changes me to be a better Christian. That's the message tonight. More of a thought-provoking message. I hope it was. Not real bombastic, but sure made a difference, and it has made a difference. I hope it will for you. Hey, you take notes in church? It's a good thing. Go back and look at them. Before you come to church, have your mind ready and engaged, prepared for what God has for you. Because He's given us the man of God who got the message from His Word and ready to receive it. Let's pray. As the ladies come to the instruments, let's pray. Bow your heads and close your eyes. If you'll stand to your feet. The message was simple. Very simple. What were we thinking? When's the last time we just spent some time in preparation? When's the last time our minds were clean and cleansed and ready for the message that comes? Our bodies, our speech. What about our personal walk? Where are you tonight? Christian, where are you? Heavenly Father, as we approach invitation, I pray that You be with the time together. Thank You for meeting with us tonight. In Your name we pray. Amen. As the ladies pray, you can use the altar.